John chapter 16. Had a youth activity here Friday night, an all-night activity, and we were debating about how much pizza to buy, and I invoked my experience as a wise old youth pastor, and I told Carlos, I said, the rule with teenagers is no matter how much pizza you buy, they'll eat it all. And I came in Saturday morning and there were four pizzas left over. What's wrong with you guys? And I think these fellows are too fed. These young people are too well fed at home. And you got to come to these things hungry. So yesterday for lunch here at church, I had pizza. Praise the Lord. And it's in the refrigerator. Why didn't you put it in the refrigerator? I didn't. Because pizza, leftover pizza is as good as it gets. John chapter 16. Are you a happy Christian? The Bible says, if it's only in this life that we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. I know some people that live a miserable life, but most of them aren't Christians. Are you a happy Christian? I got a question for you. What are you waiting for? If you took a piece of paper and you put your name on it, and you said, Pastor, here is my answer to that question, what am I waiting for? And you had to write one thing on that paper, and you and I collected all those and read through them. I could tell a lot about you by the answer to that question, couldn't I? What are you waiting for? Do you remember when you were little and you made that statement to your parents, I can't wait till I'm grown up? And your parents promptly responded, you ought to understand that a little better before you say it, because it's hard to be grown up. And I thought to myself, it's hard to be a child. But they're right, it's hard to be grown up. I thought, once I get grown up. When I was in high school, I thought I couldn't wait to be tall. I was the shortest kid in my sixth grade class. I can't wait to be tall. Yeah, doesn't do any good. You got to be athletic too. Being tall is not enough. What are you waiting for? Now, how many of you, be honest with me, have been on a trip with children, and one of them said, are we there yet? Okay. Yep. And I learned, we're driving down the road 60 miles an hour, 4 hours from our destination. Dad, are we there yet? Yeah, we are. Get out. Sir? One more road, yeah. I-10, 460 miles straight down I-10 to Los Angeles. One more road. So the Lord has an answer. There's a phrase, you see it over and over and over and over and over in this passage. A little while. A little while. A little while. He's talking to the disciples. Now, you got to remember, these fellows had been with him for 3.5 years, and they had heard everything pretty much he had said, and they learned a lot. But we know some things today, as we look at this passage, that they didn't know. When we read the passage, we know exactly what he's talking about. When they heard it, they didn't understand it all. What is this? He said, a little while, he's going to go away, he's going to come, I don't understand. And what's most interesting, well, one of the most interesting things is this. As we read the passage, you'll see it. Jesus already knew what their question was, and he answered it. Well, for the most part. But folks, just a couple of thoughts. Number one, the Lord knows what you're waiting for. So, I can't wait until the Lord knows what that is. And I'm going to show you three things here in a minute that we ought to be waiting for as Christians. And if those are the things at the top of our list, we're going to be a happy Christian. What are you waiting for? And the Lord says, just a little while. And he knew their question, and he knows your questions today. Do you trust him? It's easy to trust him when everything's going smooth and no problems at home, no problems at work, no problems with the money, no problems with the health. But we don't spend a lot of our life with no problems, do we? the disciples are about to witness the arrest and the crucifixion. And the Lord's preparing them for that. And he says, just a little while and things are going to be good. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read John chapter 16, verses 16 through 22 and have a word of prayer and try to answer that question. What are we waiting for? That's a good question to be able to answer. The Bible says in John chapter 16 and verse 16, a little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me again. A little while, and ye shall see me. Verily I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Would you read that last verse with me together, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Verse 22, here we go. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Father, help us this morning. Lord, there are days of sorrow in our life, times of suffering, times of persecution, times of affliction, times of burden. There are times when we grieve, times when we're anxious, times when we pray and have not yet seen the answer. Lord, we long for that day when these times will pass and we will be with you for all eternity. I trust that each one here honestly could say that that's what they're waiting for, is the return of Christ and the day when they're with you forever. Lord, today help us to see these things that the Lord points out to us, and I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to us. I thank you for this assembly. I know you've brought exactly the people that you want to be here today. And I thank you for bringing them here. I pray for our young people that they would understand, for older folks that they would understand, but for all of us that we would hear from the Holy Spirit today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I like that phrase, a little while. The Bible says your life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And I'm sure that one day when we are with each other and with the Lord in eternity, that this life is going to seem just like a speck of dust in the wind, because, folks, eternity is forever. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to the disciples and he's telling them what's about to happen. And he tells them that they're not going to see him for a while. It's going to be 3 days and three nights. And then he's going to come back. But we know that 40 days after that, he ascended into heaven. And they didn't see him anymore. But one day we'll all see him again. Because he said, I'll come again. If you look at this passage, there are three things that you and I as Christians ought to have our hearts and our minds set on. And here's the danger that you face. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Satan knows that. And so what he will do is he will put things before us and try to get us to love them more than we love God. Try to get us to be anticipating, focusing on, and seeking those things rather than seeking the Lord. And the disciples are told here that there are some things that they need to anticipate, and they're the same things that we should be looking forward to. Now, I look forward to some things, and you do too. I think of things that are coming soon. I like Thanksgiving and Christmas. I like to be with family. Don't you like that? And I like to, we're going to be taking a short trip at the beginning of September. I'm going to be with some family members and get to see them for the first time in a long time. And I look forward to those kind of things. But you know what I found out about vacations and about holidays and about special events is they come and they go. Don't you hate that last day of the vacation and you're getting on the plane or whatever to come back home and it's over? And now you got to go back and go to work or go back and go to school or go back and do whatever you got to do. The nice thing is the things that he has us to wait for in this passage are things that are going to last forever. Wouldn't you like to go on vacation and never come home? Amen? The holiday that never ends. Well, those aren't going to happen, but these are. There's three things here. They're eternal. They're most valuable. They're better than anything that the world can offer you. In fact, he contrasts this with what the world has, and I won't talk about that right now, but let's look at them. Just three things. First of all, look back with, if you will, in verses 16 and 17, particularly in verse 16. Jesus says to them, he says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." We'll talk about that last statement in a minute, but think about that phrase. They won't see him for a while, and then they'll see him again. Now, you know what he's talking about. He was crucified, and he was placed in a tomb, and you see, if they'd have been listening here, and that's our same problem we have. Sometimes we see things in the Bible, but we don't listen to them. They just go in one ear and out the other. If they'd have been listening, they'd have realized that's what he was talking about. And can you imagine, is the right way to ask the question, can you imagine how they felt when they saw him after he was risen from the dead? Everything's going to be okay. Amen? By the way, the resurrection of Christ makes everything okay. Can you imagine how we're going to feel when we're all with him, when we see him again in eternity? I can't wait. For the very same reasons I described, the suffering and the sadness and the things in this world, the sin, the temptation, the frustration, the apathy that people exhibit, all that's going to be gone. Look what he says. He says, "You're going to see me again in a little while." I wonder how long it'll be till he returns. Well, what's your definition of a little while? Not a long while. You ever heard of the anxiety that some people have? Have you ever been to an amusement park and seen one of those lines that's about a mile long to get on the roller coaster? And you're back at the back, and they encourage you, 45 minutes wait from this point. Oh, good. And you walk a while, 30 minute wait from this point. And finally, you get up there close to the front of the line, and it says 10 minute wait from this point. You start to get anxious. I hope you're getting a little anxious the Lord could come back. Amen? A little while. He might come back today. I know we say that a lot, but one of these days we're going to say that, and he is. You ought to be looking forward to seeing him. You ought to think about that. You ought to dwell on that. The Bible teaches that his return should be something that we anticipate. Now, I got to tell you, when he comes back, all the things that you have in this world are going to mean nothing to you. The house and the car and the job and the whatever else you got. Those are just things God gave you so you could serve him. But folks, he's coming back and we should be looking forward to it. That's the first thing you should be waiting for. Here's the second one. He says in verse 17, at the end of the verse, "I go to the Father." He said that at the end of verse 16. He mentioned that as well. And he went to the Father. Without spending time on that this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ placed his blood on a mercy seat in heaven that is eternal. And because of that, your sins are forgiven and always will be. That's not the thing, though. The thing that he mentions here in verses 17 through 19, we really look at verse 19 to see this. Jesus knew. Oh, I could stop right there. Folks, what are you going through? Jesus knows. What do you need? Jesus knows. What's causing you to suffer? What's the answer? Jesus knows. But in particular, one of the things that we find ourselves waiting for is to know God's will about something. What does God want me to do in a certain situation? You're looking for a job. You're thinking about getting married. You want God to pick your spouse, by the way. You want God to pick your career. You want God to pick your path. You want the Lord to establish the path. Amen? And you'll agree with me. I don't like waiting. They that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. I know that's true. But sometimes it's hard to wait. Lord, what do you want me to do next? Just a little thought, by the way. Until God says, do something different, keep doing what you're doing. That makes sense? Say, oh, I'm getting anxious here. I might do something different. Don't get ahead of God. You'll get yourself in trouble. Do you remember when Noah was getting ready to get off the ark? And Noah sent the birds out, and the birds came back. And Noah sent another bird out, and the bird didn't come back. And Noah thought, oh, we can get off the ark. But God didn't let him off yet. If he'd have gotten off of that ark too soon, he'd have been waiting in the mud. If you get ahead of God, you're going to find yourself stuck in the mud. Let God decide when, amen, and what. And sometimes you have to wait for that. The Lord knows what we're waiting for. He says he knew that they were desirous to ask him. We do the same thing. They heard what he said. They don't understand what he means, but they don't want to embarrass themselves by admitting they don't understand what he means. So they want to know, but they don't want to let the cat out of the bag that they don't know, and so they're just kind of stuck. Folks, the Lord knows when we get stuck. The Lord knows when we don't understand. Aren't you glad the Lord knows? And he says in verse 19, they were desirous to ask him. And so he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that? I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me. And then he goes on in verse 20 and he explains what's going to happen. The truth of the matter is there's still some questions to be answered. But here's one of the things you ought to be waiting for. And I've already said it, so I won't be too long with this. You need to wait for the Lord to give you understanding. Number one was to wait for his return. Number two, to wait for his response. Have you ever prayed and said, Lord, what should I do? And you haven't got an answer yet? Sure you have. A little over 5 years ago, we were getting ready to come out here. And in the spring of that year, we were praying, Lord, what should we do? Had to wait for an answer. 20 years before that, when I was getting ready to go to Maryland, I was 16, was praying and waiting for an answer. You ever got an answer from God, Mr. Mendez? Oh, amen. Because see, the Lord knows. And if you'll wait for him, he'll give you a response. Sometimes he'll close a door. I may have thought I ought to do something, and I try, and I can't succeed. You know what's good? God closes doors to keep me from going in the wrong place. At my house, I've got a couple of rooms. I don't want the cats in there. They tear stuff up. So I close the door. Cats can't get in. Things are safe until the door gets left open, and they get in there anyway. But God closes doors in our life, and he opens doors too, doesn't he? Now be careful, by the way. I won't spend time on this, but Satan can open a door as well. So make sure you wait for God's response. What does God want you to do? Folks, if you'll wait for God's response, he'll lead you. Now, there's a third one here. We're going to spend a little more time in verses 20 through 22. You see that first phrase in verse 20, verily, verily? Interesting thing about that. It's the same idea as when we say amen, or truly is a good word there. Verity is the word for truth. Anytime the Bible says verily, verily, your ears ought to perk up. This is something that's really important. And oh, by the way, you only see that in John. You don't see it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so John's kind of unique in that way. Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. First application of that, the disciples were going to see that the Lord had been crucified, and they were going to weep over that and lament over that because they had forgotten what he said, or they'd have been looking on down the road a little while to what's next. But they wept and lamented. The Pharisees and the priests and a lot of the people said, good, we're rid of him. And they rejoiced. That rejoicing didn't last very long, did it? You know, the person that chooses to live a wicked life, if you had, and there are people out there like this, if you had all the money you wanted and you had could do anything you wanted to do, I can just about guarantee you, you'd be miserable. We read stories about it every day in the news. I saw one the other day. It kind of broke my heart. A lady jumped out of a very expensive high-rise condo in New York City. She got her dog, and she was tired of living, and I got to presume that dog was the most precious thing to her, and she jumped from the high-rise, and her and the dog died. She had things that many of us could only dream of. I got to wonder, maybe the Bible's right. Maybe having riches doesn't satisfy people. Amen? The world can do everything they can, and they can laugh a little, and they can have a little bit of joy, and they can have a little bit. But folks, that comes to an end. For you and I, it's just the other way around. Just like it was with these disciples, for a few days, the world thought everything was taken care of, that Jesus was gone. The disciples thought everything was lost, that Jesus was gone. But then he came back. I'd like to have been in that meeting when the soldiers walked in and said, the body's gone, and we couldn't do a thing about it. And the Pharisees, I think, were convinced enough to tell the soldiers, hey, we'll give you money. Just say we went to sleep. If you didn't know or not, going to sleep as a Roman soldier was a capital offense. They'd kill you for that. But we'll take care of you. Just lie about it. And I just like to think some of those Pharisees were thinking, I wonder what really happened. I know what really happened. He rose from the dead. We wait for his return. We wait for his response. We wait for his rejoicing. Here's the thought. He says in verse 21, a woman, and he uses birth as an example, when she's in travail, hath sorrow. I gotta be really careful. I'm on thin ice here. How many of you men have attended to the birth of a child? You've been there? Yeah, behave. Don't say anything. When my wife was having our first daughter, Elizabeth, the nurse and I were watching something on TV while she was in labor, and she says, isn't it time for the epidural? And I think it couldn't have been me. I couldn't have been this stupid. It must have been the nurse that said, can't we wait till this TV show's over and then do that? I still hear about that. That was 30 years ago. But you know what? The next morning, at about 6:10, I think it was, that doctor took that baby and cleaned it up and wrapped it up, and I was standing there. And the doctor says, here, let's her hold the baby, let's me hold the baby. Wow, what a great day. Well, wait a minute, you just spent the whole night in labor. Yeah, but look what you got. Folks, one of these days, when you go to be with him, when we're all together in eternity, we're going to forget about what we suffered here. That's going to be eternal. The world has nothing to offer you like that. These young people, the world is telling them, if you had this, you'd be happy. If you had that, you'd be happy. If you did this or did that, or folks, nothing the world has to offer compares to what God has to offer. Just keep on living for God. Now, I can remember when I was a teenager thinking life must last forever. You know, they don't think about the end of life or whatever. Now I'm in my 60s and I think about, yeah, you know, a couple of decades, maybe you're going to step into eternity. Probably every teenager says, I wish I could be older and grown up. Probably every 60-year-old says, I wish I could be a teenager again. I'd know some things I didn't know before. I'd follow the Lord closer. I'd do some things better. But folks, the Lord says this to him. He says, the joy, in verse 22, he says, you now therefore have sorrow. And today, some of us, and in our life, there's no doubt about it, we will have sorrow. But I will see you again. Jesus keeps his promises, amen? You ready to see him? Hope he comes back today. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'd like to go. I don't have any reason not to. The Lord is welcome. Come today, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the Bible says. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You see, the kind of joy that God's going to give us lasts forever. The understanding that God, when you get to heaven, and I just use that phrase carelessly, when you are with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity, you're going to understand things like they really are. Amen? You're going to see things the way they really are. And when you do, you're going to realize the mistakes you made in this life, but you're also going to realize how good the Lord is. We wait for his return. We wait for his response. We wait for his rejoicing. That's what Christians ought to be waiting for. Now, I got another question for you. We're going to be done nice and early today. How many of you, you can raise your hand if you like, could say, there was a time in my life when I waited on God and then he responded. Anybody like that? Yeah. And I remember one in particular, and I won't tell you what it is. A long time ago, going through some very trying times, and the Lord delivered me, and for about 5 years, all I could preach was God's deliverance. If you're waiting for the right things, you'll be a happy Christian. If you're waiting for the wrong things, here's what you're going to find. Somebody waiting for the things that don't come from God, when you get it, you'll want something else. And when you get that, you'll want something else. And the farther you go down that trail, the farther away from God you'll get. Don't let the devil deceive you. When I asked that question at the beginning of the message, what are you waiting for? I hope your answer had something to do with what I preached today. We're waiting for his return. That's the focus of our life. We're waiting for his response, his guidance, his wisdom. We're waiting for his rejoicing, the rejoicing that only he can give that's going to last for all eternity. We were in, I think it was New York City, and we were in line at a restaurant, if I recall correctly, and it's been a long time. And some fellow was selling something, and he was convinced it was the best thing in the world, or at least he made us believe that. But in order to take what he had, we had to get out of that line, and I wasn't going to get out of that line. So don't bother me. Leave me alone. I'm happy right here. Go talk to somebody else. Folks, don't let the devil get you out of that line. Now, the truth is, God's going to come when he comes, and you're going to go be with him if you're saved. But too many people have stopped looking at the things of the Lord, start looking at things in this world, and before you know it, your joy will be gone. Your contentment will be gone. Your purpose will be gone. They teach you when you take driving lessons. You've heard this. Look on down the highway. You ever heard that one? Look ahead. Look up ahead. Don't be looking off to the side. Don't be looking right in front of the car. Keep your eyes up ahead. And if you'll do that, the car will stay right where it ought to be in that lane. I was driving down the road the other day, and something interesting, and before you know it, I'm all the way over in the curb, you know? No, you keep your eyes down the road. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You'll stay right where you need to be. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.